Hi.
Said hi, kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I love it. I'm
your warm-up man. I'm here to make you feel really, really excited, so have a really, really great time tonight. So I hope you enjoy me. I'm not on long. All right?
Yay.
I want you to listen really, really carefully to sketches tonight. Because whenever anyone says the word crackerjack,
crackerjack!
Oh, you love it. I want you to shout it back as loud as you can like that. That's great. But you have to listen really, really carefully. Because we'll probably be really, really sneaky about where we put it. The one who shouts the loudest and the one who makes the most noise at our jokes gets to win a crackerjack. Just testing. And a visit to the home of Stew Crusher Great Francis and to Peter Glacey's grave. On with the show!
Obviously, I've been to Tibet and, yeah, the people there are amazing. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're starving. They're dying. Their children usually die at birth. Their life expectancy is like completely minimal. But they're really happy. It's great. I love them.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I've been to Tibet. I've travelled, obviously, and I mean, people there. They see starvation as a sort of challenge, and it kind of keeps them going, you know.
Yeah,
they love it.
I see.
Yeah. Could you go anywhere on your year off, Jo?
Well, yeah, but I don't like to talk about it.
Hey,
come on. It upsets people.
But I can take it.
Okay, I went to the north of England.
You went to the north of England? No, I'm amazed your parents allowed it.
Well, it was quite easy at first. Like, I got a tube to the outskirts of London, but I mean, God, that well, I just...
did you have any, like, you know, linguistic difficulties?
Well... It was okay until I reached Birmingham. Have you heard of it?
No.
Well, very few people there can actually communicate at all. I mean, God, in fact, some of them have never even heard of cappuccino coffee.
Oh, poor devils, they must be really sad.
Well, no, not really. You see, because of the inbreeding, most of the people in the north are completely mentally subnormal. I mean, they don't even notice.
Yeah.
You know?
I suppose we could use them to test drugs on or
something. Yeah, well, not really, no, because their reactions are so completely different from ours. So, you know.
You know, I think the people in the north sound really horrible, yeah.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I get my degree, I want to travel north again. I'm trying to help these people. I mean, there's so much.
That's great.
But that means there's so much they can teach a person like me.
I expect there is. Is it true that people in Newcastle ride about in carts and eat their own shit?
God, no! I'm afraid that's a bit of an exaggeration. They never eat their own.
Do you know there's a certain type of beetle whose sole purpose is to eat manure?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, morning! Oh, what a beautiful day!
Morning, Mother Beetle.
Morning, lad.
What's for breakfast?
A manure.
Not manure again. We always have manure.
Listen, my lad, we perform a valuable social function in the animal kingdom. The animals produce the manure. We eat it and deposit it underground. Then to give them plant nutrients to the plants for them to grow so the animals can eat them and deposit their manure again. It's incredible. It's the kind of thing that proves there's a god up there looking after us.
Proves there's a god who's a complete bastard, more like. How do you like tucking into a bowl full of shit every
day? Yes, that talks. We are not worthy to eat, to lick the Klingons from his holy bottom.
We live in the animals. They do all right. They don't have to eat all this shit all the time.
Well, somebody has to do it. Anyway, if you don't eat it up, you won't grow up to be big and strong.
Oh, I see. What, so I can eat more crap, you mean? It's all we do. It's our sole purpose in life.
Son, you're so ungrateful. You're lucky you are. There are beetles in Africa who don't have two turns for
Africa. It's hardly lucky. I mean, it makes your breath stink and it tastes like shit.
Don't be ridiculous. There's so much variety. Horse turd, dog turd, pig turd.
For God's sake, they all taste the same.
And then there's diarrhea. I tried to get some diarrhea from the shop this morning. As a special treat, you know. But it had run out. Now eat up!
It was during our second term here at the Regulars christened us the Theatre of Crudity. And something we feel we have to live up to every now and again. And now, Mike Cosgrave with the first joke for mind readers.
Derek Oakley, and I'm going to do an act for you now, which is a bit of a first for the workshop, a ventriloquist act. My study in this interesting and highly amusing art began when my grandfather gave me a couple of ventriloquist dummies. For those of you who don't know, the dummy is, of course, the doll we use in the act, not, of course, as you might have thought, a very silly person. Yeah. Just Tony told me to slip in the odd joke. Yeah. But,
oh dear. Everything's going wrong. Oh,
okay. Well, of course, I have many heroes. Roger De Courcy and Nookie Bear, of course, a couple of them. But, of course, my absolute favourite, the man I most look up to, is, of course, Fred Harris. No,
it's Keith.
Oh, dear. I'm so flustered, I think. Sorry, shit. Keith Harris, of course, an absolute genius of a man. Yes, he is very funny, isn't he? Yes. OK, without any more further ado, I'll just get on, because that's how I know how to do the act, you see. OK, I'll just come in again. Oh, hi, kids. Have you seen my little chum, Ali?
No.
I said, have you seen Ali?
No!
I wonder where he could be.
In a bloody box.
I'm in the box! Did you hear that, kiddies? I didn't quite catch what he said. I wonder what it was. I said, I'm in the box! Oh, he said he's in the box. I wonder if he could mean this box. Let's have a look, shall we? Oh, yes, here he is, the cheeky young rascal. Do you want to come out of the box for us, Ali? No, don't want to come out of the box. Oh, go on. No, I really just don't want to. Well, you're just blooming well going to have to, because all the kiddies want to see you. Right, here you go. Well, Ali, well, how are you today, then, Ali? Say hello to the boys and girls, go on, all right, say hello to the boys and girls, but before you do, I've just got to wipe my nose for a minute.
Hello, boys and girls!
And how are you, then? Oh, sorry.
I'm very well, thank you.
Yes, and what have you been up to this week? But before you answer that, I've just got to put this plastic bag that I forgot all about over my head.
Well, look, come on, why this? shit! I mean, every time Ali gets a chance to talk, you somehow contrive to cover your mouth so he can't see if it's moving or not. I mean, you know, I mean, admittedly, it's very cunningly done, but it's a complete sham.
So you think I'm cheating?
In a word, yes, I do think you're cheating.
Well, Ali, what do you think about that? Yes, well, I think I'll just prove you wrong there, because I'm going to do a little bit of my act now and keep my mouth tight shut, and Ali will talk. Watch and believe. Hello, Ali.
Hi, Derek, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Master Grandpa, how are you?
Yes,
sir. Come on, there's someone behind that curtain. You can see it moving. Ridiculous. I'll pay good money to come see this show.
You pay good money to come here. I'll give you money if you carry on like this.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, yes. Yes, you are right. There is someone behind the curtain. But it's not quite how you think. It's Sally, who is in fact the brains behind this outfit, because she makes both me and Ali talk. Here she is. Isn't that right? Yes, it is. See, she's not talking now.
She's got a handkerchief over her mouth, look.
Stop it! This is quite disgusting, quite disgusting! Go away, sons of Satan!
Hello!
Sorry.
We are a deputation from the Conservative government, and we have been sent to put a stop to these sort of immoral acts on stage.
Yes, we've been sent to tell you about the new bill that's being passed, and it's going to put an end to this smutty and violent humour that we have to witness every single day.
Under this bill, any joke that is deemed to be unreasonable by reasonable people will not be allowed to take place on stage.
And we have been deemed reasonable people, and we're going to make all the decisions and...
Here is an example of how a reasonable joke would take place on stage. Teacher, when was the Magna Carta signed?
Cheeky little schoolboy! In Wanimeeg, in 1215.
Obviously, this joke has had to be slightly modified because of the original punchline at the bottom.
You see, it would cause offence to people like my next-door neighbour, Timmy.
Timothy.
He's got a very sore bottom at the moment. And you see, this is what these thinly veiled attacks are clearly aimed at.
Here is an example, immediately, of how a new double act would run under the new bill.
Sorry, all right. I thought you'd be hurt for a minute. I'll say, my wife went to Jamaica last year.
New Zealand?
No, it was Jamaica, actually.
Sorry, I misheard you.
My mother-in-law, right, I wouldn't say she's fat. Because she fought in two world wars, you know, and if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't live in the freedom we know today.
No, it's true.
No, it's an Englishman, Irish, English person, Irish person, a Scots person. They were all equally intelligent and equally generous.
I say. My wife has no testicles.
No testicles, Rich? Then how does she produce sperm?
Well, Stu, she can't. She hasn't got any testicles.
Let's get that one in, didn't we?
Yeah, that one's
what's a testicle?
I don't think I really know, Mary Jane.
You certainly haven't got any.
Oh, sorry. Is it crap, actually?
It was a bit. I thought I'd just slip it in, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Joe.
Right, this week in the studio, we've got some very, very, very interesting foreign visitors for you. They're called the Latvian Stick and Bag Theatre. And it's from Latvia! Now then, if you live in London, or East London, then you're in luck, as you'll be able to see them performing over the next few weeks, as well as enjoying a higher standard of living than the rest of the country. Now then, hopefully we'll be able to talk to the Latvians later, but before we do, they're here to perform for us now the traditional Latvian tale of the Rape of Tansy. I think this is Tansy. I think the dragon's going to come any minute.
thank you very much. Now, I hope the Latvians are going to be able to explain the subtle, very, very subtle mysteries of their art to us. But because they are, really are very, very, very ethnic indeed, none of them can actually speak English. So we have here in the studio tonight with us Jill Small, an interpreter. Very nice to have you here with us, Jill.
Yes, it's lovely to be here, Sarah.
The first question I'd like to ask is to Hab Dorman, the... Hab Dorman,
No, I think you'll find it's Abdomen. Sarah, you really mustn't feel embarrassed by foreign words that perhaps sound a little strange or rude. I mean, after all, the French for yes is oui.
Oui.
Anyway, Jill, I'd like to ask the Latvians, were they...
Abdomen!
I'd like to ask the Latvians why they chose sticks and bags and not the more realistic puppets of other backward folk.
John Luke is Johnny Singleton, John Amrit reading.
John Crevin.
No, no,
Leslie John. The conventional use of puppets seems to create a mental barrier amongst the psyche of conventional audiences, which the familiarization of the sticks and the bags helps to break down, enabling, creating a new concept which is not often found in other...
Well, thank you, Jill, that was very, very useful. Thank you very much. Well, Jill, before we go...
Yes, it's been smashing, Sarah.
It's been lovely,
it's been gorgeous, yes.
Before we all go... my fish... Before we all go, perhaps the Latvians would like to perform another of their wonderful little sketches for us.
Yes, I'm sure they will.
Thank you, Jill. It's very nice of you. Don't forget
them.
Are there any Latvians in the audience tonight? Just as bloody well, really, isn't it? Right. Okay, normally in the workshop, oh, my fly's coming undone.
Hi kids, I'm still the warm-up man, I'm still here to make you feel really, really excited. Woo! I'm really, really excited.
That's terrific.
Right. We're a group called the Seven Raymonds.
Woo!
Quite funny because there's only six of them. Right, so I want you to shout back now, we want the Seven Raymonds. Loud!
We want the Seven Raymonds!
That's great, and if you do it at the end, the one who shouts the loudest gets a special prize. Woo! Gets Raymond here, but only for cooking and housework, because we're a liberated group.
Great. Hey.
Right. Hello.
Hello.
Can I say hello? Can you say hello And tonight, we're going to ask the question. Jesus Christ, man or myth? I'm sorry, I think that should have read Jesus Christ, man or not.
Oh, oh, oh. If you could have seen her. Her breasts were firm and hard and perfectly round. Her shoulders were smoothed and curved. Her skin was pale like marble. Her eyes like little jewels. Her teeth white as polished marble.
Oh, what was her skin like again?
That was also like marble.
And her breasts, what were they like?
Round, perfectly formed.
Mm. Did she have a tongue?
What?
A tongue. Did she have one?
No, she was a statue in the garden of the stately home.
You mean a sculpture?
A statue.
Do you often sort of go with with statues?
All the time, yeah.
Why is that, that you go with statues?
They have skin. And firm, hard.
Perfectly formed breasts, obviously. Yeah.
You can't beat them for quality.
No. Have you ever been with a real woman?
Good God.
Why is that then that you haven't been with a...
Real people are all right as far as they go. But their skin blemishes, you know. And their breasts are floppy, soft. Utterly useless. Completely unlike what we've been led to expect.
So, what is the basic advantage of statues, then?
Statues? They believe me when I say I love them.
So terribly sad, yes. Meanwhile, in heaven, God was a pondering. Oh, what's she meant?
Yes, I got it! Brilliant! Yeah, that's going to be really good. Hey, Jesus, my little boy, come over here!
Yeah.
Whatever you want. Can you make it quick? Because, like, me and Gabriel are going out for a night on the clouds, and, like, we want to go down the off here, get a couple of water and wines in beforehand.
Off gallivanting again! Oh, where did I go wrong with you? Oh, I don't know.
Well, come off it. I am the saviour of all mankind.
Oh, that's very nice of you. It doesn't help your old dad in his dotage, does it? Cool. Anyway, listen to this. I've been a bit fed up with the people down on Earth thinking I haven't got a sense of humour. So I've decided I'm going to show them, yes, I have got a bloody sense of humour. And I'm going to play a rather amusing, practical joke on them.
Yeah, go on.
Well, it's quite simple, really. It's AIDS.
Don't see how it's going to sort of create belly laughs, you know.
you see, for the last 40 years, they've all been sitting down there, wondering when and if the bomb's going to fall, right? And now I send this virus, which is going to get the bastards first. And all this worrying about the bomb is for nothing. Hey, don't you see the irony, eh? Don't you think it's funny?
Well, admittedly, it's quite subtle, but I just don't think I get it. Sorry.
Hey, won't get it? Don't be ridiculous. Yeah, it'll kill them. Oh, kill them. That's rather good if I say it myself. It's a pun. Yeah. Kill them. Kill it's like, you know.
a big, warm Oxford Review workshop welcome for a duck-billed platypus. Good evening, and quite clearly, you're a duck-billed platypus.
Yes, that's right.
Being a duck-billed platypus, I suppose that makes you a mammal, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. I always get this. People are always trying to categorise, have you noticed? I mean, look at me. I'm standing here. I'm trying to make myself look a bit different, make myself look a bit individual amongst all the other animals in the animal kingdom. And then, just because I suckle my young, I'm a bloody mammal. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, come on, look. I lay eggs. I've got a bill, I've got webbed feet, I swim about. I mean, it'd be more sensible to call me a bird, wouldn't it? I'd have thought. But oh, no. To be a bird, you've got to have feathers. I mean, who decides, eh? Who decides? There's probably some little horrible bloke sitting in a room somewhere now deciding all students of Oxford University are henceforth to be categorised as Ronco battery testers. I mean, you're just sitting there, you're doing nothing, fuck all. I mean, bloody hell. I mean, why don't you try and be a bit individual? You're all being herded together in a big group, feeling really safe and everything. But if you get drawn into it, the moment that everyone feels like that, the human race will destroy itself.
Yes, well, quite. I was going to ask you about what it's like to be a small, furry, lovably eccentric creature swimming in the blue waters of the Australian outback, but clearly I seem to have underestimated
you. Ridiculous. You know I'm unemployed and I've been sitting in t'other room. You've been watching too many of them bloody middle class sitcoms again, haven't you? You think you're June Whitfield, don't you?
What? Oh no, Terry, the dinner's ruined! Look at your suit! Now you're going to have to go up to the bathroom and wash it all off and you'll get soap in your eyes. And instead of taking aspirin for that inevitable headache that you're going to have, you're going to take two super effective laxatives so that when you go to your boss's for that important business dinner, you're going to have to keep running out to the toilet, confusing those endearingly confused Japanese clients that can't pronounce their R's for hilarious consequences until finally you crap all over your boss's favourite carpet and your bizarre attempts to cover the station as well will be so utterly futile. I think just as you think that you've lost...
Stop it, will you? You're my wife, you're not June Whitfield. Whatever happened to that lovely Lancashire lass I married way back then, in them golden days when I worked out mine? We were poor, we had three nippers to bring up, but at least we lived in the real world.
Come on, that's hardly fair. I mean, you're a failed estate agent from Milton Keynes, you're not working for us. I mean, your fancy is just as great as mine, if not worse. I mean, most people pretend to be a socialist or working class when they're at university.
Hey,
anyway, the vic is coming round. The vic is coming round. And I hope the dog doesn't do anything embarrassing again.
We haven't got a bloody dog. Anyway, where's Jeremy and Tut Little One?
He's in the cupboard, convinced he's a plate.
What? Jeremy, come here. Come here, lad.
Oh, God.
Listen here, lad. I'm not having you convinced you're a plate. You're my son. And you're going to go and work down mine. Or else languish in bitter unemployment. Singing Anil Clemore bar taps and get your spirits off.
Or you can follow in your mother's footsteps and become a famous British bestseller comedy actress.
No! I don't want to follow in your footsteps and have a conventional career. I'm rebelling.
Great. career as a piece of crockery. You know, one day, great people are going to be eating off me. Maybe even royalty.
Well, you're going to have to wash then, aren't you? Because nobody's going to want to eat off a dirty adolescent have every doing in middle class.
Sorry, Mum. Anyway, there's something I've been meaning to tell you. This plate and I are in love.
Oh my God! No son of mine's going to be in love with a plate!
Wait, you fool!
Oh my God! I'm going to wait!
I wanted to tell you that this plate and I are in love. There, it's done now. I've come out of the cupboard. I know it seems stupid and we're from different backgrounds, aren't we? But this plate has shown me pleasure I never dreamed existed. Whether in the darkness of the cupboard, the wild masochism of knives and forks rubbing over us, or in the washing up bowl, the soapy water lapping at our rims.
Oh my God!
Warning! Warning! Nuclear attack! This is a 4-minute warning! Thousands of thermonuclear devices are on their way here! Take cover!
Hang on, what was that?
Alright, as nuclear war just started, then it's my job to come round and warn everybody.
What?
Well, as I said, it's a nuclear war, you see, it's just started, and I've got to come round to all the houses and warn people to, you know, to paint their windows and put doors up against the cupboards and stuff so they can protect themselves in really easy ways, you know.
You mean to say there's just you covering the whole country?
No, don't be stupid! It's Jeremy as well.
Come on, everybody go.
Yeah, well, suppose we ought to, yeah. Anyone want to say anything to us before we go?
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a bit of a hurry, but I mean, if you want to chat for a second, I'm quite. Yeah, well,
they're just duty to cover the whole thing.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Should we go back and do the bit we missed out? Right, so you say.
Well, yeah. Frankly, I reckon they're trying to save money, you know, because seeing as everyone's going to be dead anyway, they thought it wasn't worth spending loads of money on.
That's why, mate, they didn't broadcast it in the streets and on the radio or on television.
Never gave bloody chance.
I know we didn't, but I mean, I just thought I'd tell you anyway. So anyway, is that the time? Bloody hell, we better be going. We got another 20 million homes to visit, you know, so we better be out.
Hey, why don't you split up?
That's a good suggestion, the original.
Yeah.
It'd be more efficient, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, all right, we'll do that. Yeah, thanks very much, yeah.
Well, can we try a cup of tea? It's one in the pot!
Yeah, all right, just a quick one. Oh, where's that Kit Kat of mine? Yeah, I thought we'd have a break anyway.
Yeah, I'm
there. Oh, jeez. Oh, look at that.
Oh, do they pay you well, then?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, they told us to go back to the office when we finish, you know, then they pay us then.
When the office be not destroyed really in the devastating Holocaust.
Shit, yeah.
Oh, bastards. Bloody
hell, that's the end of the universe. Perhaps. Oh! Trying to get the
created, all right? We've got a lot to do. We've got to decide. We've got to decide whether the universe is created by spontaneous combustion of super concentrated matter, by evolution, or whether the contract goes to a young fella by the name of God. Anybody know anything about God? No, who are you?
I'm super concentrated matter, but you can call me Sue. And I've got lots and lots and lots of energy because I've been in this for 8 hours. And I think if I concentrate all this energy that I can make a really huge bang! A big bang! If you like.
You're a piece of work. Get off.
Excuse me.
Yeah, who are you?
I'm the formless void.
Where? Oh yeah, and it's your job to fill up infinite space, right?
Yeah, and I think I've been doing my job diligently. And without a lot of thanks.
Right, and I suppose you're concerned that, you know, you're concerned about newfangled changes, and I guess you think we're going to make you redundant or something, don't
you? Yes, I mean, you're trying to run a universe through my home now. I mean, why can't things stay like they were in the old days?
What old days? There weren't any old days.
No! No. As the world's first amoebic being, I demand the right to reproduce with myself. Not that I'm kinky or strange.
Just a minute, who are you? I'm a duck billed platypus. Look, mammals are not due for another 40 million years.
Fucking hell, are you going? Why'd you fucking destroy my own background here, okay? I mean, I'm a bloody
I mean, take this bloke. He's an amoeba, all right, but he's got a mind of his own. I mean, not all amoebas are the same, are they?
They are, actually.
Look, just fuck off, right? You're really fucking things up. Just go, right, if you go into the waiting room and wait, right? If you use the vending machines and the magazines, time will fly past. And if you want to suckle your young, right, the bathroom's out the back. Oh, God, you bastard! God! Who are you?
God sent me along to put his case.
Well, God was supposed to come himself, who are you?
Yeah, but God's very busy expelling Satan and his wards to the fiery pit.
Right.
So,
well, who are you then? Who are you?
Well, I'm the piece of clay he wants to create the first human from. Like, I'd like to be called Raymond, but apparently he's got different ideas. But he says the whole thing can be ready in a week if the weather's good. Anyway, when he's finished all that, he's going to take one of my ribs and create the first woman.
Isn't that a bit unlikely?
And very, very sexist.
Well, you get on with it, you're asexual.
Oh, I say. Anyway, after that, they will be sorely tempted by a snake.
Look, just sounds like you're going to be with a session with Felix.
And anyway, haven't you heard? Genesis is but an allegory.
Okay, calm down, come on. Right, we're not getting anywhere, so I'm going to turn out the lights. Whoever's at the front when the lights come up gets to create the universe, all right? Go!
Wouldn't it be funny if it was John Martin?
Well, lights, please.
Hello, seems to be in a bit of a mess at the moment. Anyway, we're taking through a few million eons of time now, right up to date, and, at the risk of, oh dear, these braces are fuck up everything. At the risk of sounding contrived or a bit too sincere.
Just go for it.
Okay. I'd like to say that quite categorically,
My name is John Martin.
Great.
Oh, there are some John Martin fans in tonight, that's great. And this is my wife, Beverly.
Hi.
Well, there was a time towards the end of the 1960s, I don't know if any of you remember, when I used to be quite a credible and fashionable folk rock singer. But those days are dead now. Phil Collins drummed on my last LP.
Yes, we've seen some better times, haven't we?
We have, yeah. The song I'm going to play for you tonight is one I wrote for Bev about 16 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the permanence of a strong love.
Okay.
When you sought me, I was dark. Came on me like sunrise. Your love light shining over the hills, washing me and curing my ills. The sun, the earth, the moon, the stars, pale, insignificant beside you. You open my heart like a flower. You cast the petals on the happy breeze. No matter what I do, no matter what I say, you say,
you're talking crap again.
The only girl I've ever liked.
You think I'm stupid?
I thought we would be two for life.
You know that's bullshit.
When we made love, it was so fine.
I was asleep.
A burning passion made me sigh.
You were so crappy, man.
No matter what I do, no matter what I say, you say,
sha-la-la.
Talking crap again. Talking crap again. You're talking crap again.
There's now follow a brief 5 minute break whilst Richard Herring licks the baked beans off the piano. And if you're in luck, you can catch the bar, but only 5 minutes, we've got an awful lot to go yet.